We Are SC podcast, Gary Paskowitz. Western Michigan edition, season opener for the Trojans, 2017 season. USC coming into the year ranked number 4 as the defending Rose Bowl champions. Obviously a lot of expectations, very high for this team. And taking on a Western Michigan team that was the MAC champions last year, the first championship they had won since 1988. Nice long winning streak, ended in the Cotton Bowl, but a team that had a nice foundation but suffered some losses. And we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But looking at how the Trojans are positioned heading into this game, coming off of a fall camp that really lack of drama. Not a lot of huge position battles, not a lot of injuries, fortunately, knock on wood. And kind of the way the players shaped out with guys like Sam Darnold and Cameron Smith and Porter Gustin leading the way, things just went fairly smooth for this camp. So I think that's one of the biggest things that you take away is just how well prepared this team is coming into this game. The players are focused. They're listening to what these coaches are saying. There was coaching continuity from last year to this year, so the message is the same, particularly on defense. We'll talk about that in a minute. But when you're going to talk about this Trojan team, obviously you start with Sam Darnold. Very comforting to look out on the field and see a guy that many people, including I guess pretty much everybody listening to this podcast, would agree with, is the best player in the country in college football. And what Sam did last year, we all know it. Just from the moment he stepped on the field as a starting quarterback, just was fantastic. And is sitting here right now as the favorite for the Heisman Trophy, and projected that if he does come out in the draft next year, he'd be the number one draft pick. So who knows about all that? All I know is we get to watch him for this year, and I for one am going to enjoy him. So Sam had a very good fall camp. There was a couple interceptions early. There was wondering if his throwing motion had changed anything, but that got taken care of right away. And really, he was just when they had scrimmage situations, when the lights were on, Sam Darnold was looking great. So he's going to be the equalizer in this game. I know there's some talk about some young receivers, maybe an offensive line that maybe some people think isn't settled yet. But when everything needs to be calmed down and someone needs to make a play, Sam Darnold is going to be that guy. But he certainly isn't the only one on offense. Ronald Jones leading the way at the tailback spot, a returning 1,000-yard rusher who is bulked up a little bit, adding a little power to his game, and trying to be that three down back. We are very deep at the tailback position. Akacedric Ware is a guy who averaged 5.1 yards a carry last year. Vivai Malapai is looking through fall camp like he'll be the short yardage goal line guy. And then you have Stephen Carr, the freshman who really dazzled in fall camp, and he will play a role this year. We might also see him on kickoff return. You go down to the tight end spot, another very deep group. I don't know how much Daniel Imator-Bebe is going to play in this game. He was able to practice this week. A hip flexor kind of held him out the majority of fall camp, but Helton saying, hey, we want to get him in to this game, so we'll see. I wouldn't mind holding him out and saving him for Stanford next week, but I can understand wanting to get him in there and get a little rest off and have him get some reps. But what we also see is Tyler Petit, who has played well this fall camp, bulked up in the upper body. Kerry Angeline, as a redshirt freshman, really, I think, ready for a role to play. And then a couple of good freshmen, true freshmen, Josh Follow and Eric Cromenhoek. Out to the receiver spot. There is a lot of talk about, okay, there's Deontay Burnett. You've got the other starters are the veterans and Stephen Mitchell and Jalen Green. And then you have some young receivers that maybe aren't as far along as some people would think. One guy is Tyler Vaughns. Tyler Vaughns was consistently good in spring. He was consistently good in fall. Clay Helton talked extensively this week about, hey, when it comes to the starting lineup for the opener, I'm going to err in the favor of the veterans, guys like Stephen Mitchell, guys like Jalen Green and Deontay. He goes, the young guys, and he mentioned Tyler specifically, they will get in there, they will get their opportunities, and they will get to play. So you're going to see a lot of Tyler Vaughns in this opening game, though. Coach Helton leaning to the veterans. And let's give kudos to, obviously, Deontay is going to be your guy. But Stephen Mitchell coming back from his injury and is working his way back into the starting lineup. But Jalen Green, a guy who was a quarterback early in his career, bounced around for a while. And you really have to consider this his first full offseason and year as a wide receiver. And he earns a starting spot. So kudos to you, Jalen. Flipping it over to the defensive side of the ball. I would say this is the biggest thing from fall camp that you could say coming into this season is how good the defense was looking. Sideline to sideline pursuit speed, led by that triangle of the front seven, Uchenna Owusu, Porter Gustin, Cameron Smith. Those guys are terrific. They're veterans at the top of their games. But just the speed in which you're seeing these guys play, because they know Clancy Pendergast's system now. It's their second year. They're not thinking about it. The communication on the field is being done by the players, not the coaches, because you have guys like we mentioned, Owusu, Smith, both of whom are captains, along with Chris Hawkins back there in the secondary. One thing we will not see is Cameron Smith in the first half of this game. He will have to be in the locker room by virtue of the personal foul penalty that he got in the Rose Bowl, which may or may not have been much of a penalty, but it was called, and so he will sit out the first half. Cam said the one benefit, he goes, he'll be pacing around a little bit, but when he comes out in the second half, he'll have some fresh legs. So Jordan Iosefa will get the start there in that spot. John Houston will be next to him at weak side linebacker. The interior down in the middle, it will be Rasheem Green, obviously, at one spot. He looked terrific. The nose tackle position is probably going to be a rotation of Josh Fatu, Marlon Tuipulotu. We'll see how much Kenny Bigelow plays, and then I do think Brandon Peely will get in there as well. Going back to the defensive backs, Iman Marshall set at one corner spot, Ajayne Harris in the slot. Those guys are solid. Jackie Jones is looking like he will be the one who initially gets the first shot at replacing Adoree Jackson at that corner spot. Isaiah Langley right behind him, but Jackie looks to be there. Jackie also in the mix for kick return and punt return. So he could be a guy who ends up playing a very big role if he can step in there. And really it's knowing the playbook, not making the mistakes. That's going to be the biggest thing for Jackie. Let's take a look at Western Michigan for a second. Like we said, a Cinderella season from last year. But you lost the coach who had really rebuilt that program. They had not won a MAC title since, I mentioned, 1988. And this guy really just steadily in 4 years, P.J. Fleck is who we're talking about, using the mantra, you know, rowing the boat and just really got that thing going. And it culminated last year. You had a quarterback who was a four-year starter who ended up as the school yardage leader, and a receiver who ended up being a first-round draft choice in Corey Davis, who left as the all-time NCAA receiving leader. So those aren't ordinary losses for a program like Western Michigan. But they do bring back 15 starters who know how to win, who went through a very good season. There are a couple stars in that group. You're talking a corner. Darius Phillips is a guy that Helton has raved about for several weeks now, has four interceptions returned for touchdown in his career, three of them last year, and he was the MAC Special Teams Player of the Year last season. So a guy who sounds very Adoree-like. They have one running back, Jarvion Franklin, 6'2", 225, had a 1,300-yard season last year and holds the school record with 41 rushing touchdowns. They also have another scat back and then a third running back who is coming off of injury in ACL. So they are going to run the ball is what we're going to see. Like we said, this quarterback has not taken a snap yet. So running the ball, they also have an offensive tackle who's 6'6", 330, and is number four on Mel Kiper's offensive draft tackles projected for the draft. So don't be surprised if they're running behind him. Some key matchups in the game that just we're going to be watching is really Deontay Burnett against Darius Phillips. I think that's going to be a fun one to watch. You got to assume they're going to put Phillips on him, and Deontay looked terrific in camp. The height is there. He's bulking up a little bit, so I can't wait to see how that impacts his game and just the mental knowledge. When Helton talks about him being a guy who just does everything right, I'm anxious to see where his growth is his third year in the program, and then going up against a guy who pretty much every mock draft you see has Darius Phillips going in the first round next year. So obviously a special talent right there. Players to watch for the Trojans. We mentioned Jackie Jones and his importance really possibly in three areas. The place kicker and punting spot, we found out this evening that Chase McGrath will be the kicker and Reed Budrovich will be the punter. Kind of a mild surprise in both selections. You had Michael Brown, who was the redshirt freshman, had been in the program for a year, but neither of them was terrific in camp. And I'll be honest, I would have gone with McGrath. I think he has the better leg. And so the good thing is, you can try both guys, see how they react in the Coliseum, see how and when the lights come on. But you got McGrath there, and then Budrovich beat out an incumbent guy in Chris Tilby, who I thought did a very solid job last year. Certainly pinning the ball where they didn't get the opponent was not getting rushing return yardage, he was fantastic in that area. So Budrovich must have been pretty special to beat him out in John Baxter's Ige. And then, like I mentioned earlier with Stephen Mitchell, coming back off his knee injury, you might not have a more respected veteran on this team than Stephen Mitchell. So nice to see him back in the starting lineup. Hope he's able to play a role in this game. And then I want to give two freshmen to watch. I mentioned to both earlier, but Stephen Carr is going to be in that mix in the tailback rotation. Coming out of the backfield, we may see that. Anytime you can get him in space, this young man is pretty electric. He also knows how to pass block, a rarity for an incoming freshman. And then Marlon Tuipulotu coming in at nose tackle. He was here in spring, and he is at worst going to be number two behind Josh Follow. He'll be in there a lot. And when you see this guy, he just does not look like your average freshman. So for the rest of this podcast, we are going to have an interview with Toa Lobendon. We're going to have a roundtable with myself, Johnny Kern, and Daryl Rideau talking about keys to the game. We're going to hear from Kevin Bruce with his defensively speaking angle on the USC Trojans and Western Michigan Broncos. And then Randy Taylor finishing up with a recruiting talk, who he saw last week, and previewing the modern-day Bishop Gorman game. This is the We Are SC podcast. Toa Lobendon Toa after the Tuesday practice. Just talk about as you're getting ready to the first game, how important was it for you to get back for fall camp and be able to take a full fall camp practice like you did?
It was definitely very important. First of all, it was just, you know, all glory to God, just be able to come back healthy and make it through camp and make it to this first week. It's been a blessing to be back, you know, playing with my brothers and stuff. But just to get that, all that work that we did and know that, you know, I'm confident in my body and the way I'm moving and just getting all that, all those plays, experience and stuff definitely helped me. And I know I'm ready to go.
Coach Helton last night in their radio show said, hey, Toa had as good a camp as anybody out here. What did he see in you, do you think, that made him make a statement like that?
It's my fourth camp, so just like all that experience building up, and you know, I'm a vet now, basically a senior, so just all that building up over the years, you know, I'm a salty vet, as he would say, but all glory to God, you know, that he said that, you know, I think I did pretty good.
You've heard one of those talking points in the offseason, oh, the O-line needs to get settled, they lost a lot. There's a lot of starts coming back in this group, so tell me why that talking point is kind of not applicable.
It's just, you know, we lost three good guys last year that were starting, you know, and I was out, so it wasn't like I was starting the whole year, but I think we got a lot of guys coming back with a lot of experience. They just, you know, the outside eye just doesn't know, you know, like we do, of course, you know, we know our own team, but definitely got a lot of confidence in our boys coming back.
And so that's one of the questions right now. People say, okay, this line can be a little bit more mobile, a little more athletic. What do you think we're going to see?
I think we're definitely probably the fittest line in the country, I would say. You know, we're not too many guys over 300, but I think we're going to be able to do a lot more stuff on the perimeter, you know, outside stuff, you know, more, whereas last year it was a lot more pounding inside with bigger guys, you know, so I think we're going to play to our strengths. You know, I don't, you know, I'm not saying that we can't run it inside too, but I just think that's probably more of our strengths. But whatever the game plan is, you know, it doesn't matter.
Sure. You talked about getting out here with your brothers and everything, and in particular, there's two guys that you came in with. You've been roommates with them, you, Vianney, and Nico. Talk about being able to go out there and do this one more time with these guys.
It's special. You know, it's their last year for sure, and I'm just trying to enjoy every last minute of it, you know, just taking advantage. And another thing, like taking advantage of just the school that we've been blessed to go to, you know, you never really fully understand it until you get older and you see what's around you. But, you know, I've realized that we're at a special place with a lot of opportunity, and I'm just trying to take full advantage of all of it.
Perspective is a great thing, isn't it? Tell me what you see from Western Michigan on defense and what you guys are going to be facing.
We don't have a whole lot on the personnel, but we've been looking a lot at, you know, Ball State because that's where their D coordinator is coming from. So they do a lot of interesting things, you know, in their fronts and their blitzes and stuff. So they do a good job on that. As far as, the returning guys, I think they have, you know, definitely a lot of talent. They were a great team last year, and they're coming back. So it's going to be awesome to compete against them.
Thanks for your time, Toa. Good luck on Saturday. Talking keys to the game for USC Western Michigan, Gary Pasquitz, Johnny Curran, and Daryl Rideau. And, guys, I'm going to talk about the run game for both teams in terms of how it is established. USC right now having some veteran backs led by Ronald Jones, Aka Cedric Ware, and then breaking in some new guys in Vavai Malapai and the explosive freshman Stephen Carr. But the real importance to it is in terms of how the run game takes the pressure off of Sam Darnold and allows the other parts of the offense to grow. I really want to pay attention to that. There is so much talk about the offensive line and how they're coming together. They're all healthy right now. Vianney Talamaivao has been in practice all week, so that has been a very good sign. So I anticipate the line to be more settled, I think, than the worry was at the beginning of camp. And so can the run game get going and really stay steady against the Western Michigan defense that they should be able to run on? That's what I want to see. And then conversely, I think this interior of the USC defensive line is something all fall that really jumped out to me with their size and their supposed ability to be able to stop the run. You're going to have to do it against a Western Michigan team that does have a couple running backs, and this is what they want to do. So this is a nice test, not an overpowering test to get you ready for Stanford, but a very solid test to say this is a running team and that's what they're going to want to do. Let's judge how you're going to do in that regard. Johnny, what's catching your eye?
The thing I'm going to be paying especially close attention to in this game is really the wide receiver group. First and foremost, how they really mesh with Sam Darnold in their first game, you know, with Juju Smith-Schuster, Darius Rogers, Isaac Whitney, Daquan Hampton, all those guys gone. I want to see, obviously, Deontay Burnett's the established guy, but how do the other guys step up? And that brings me to the second point, which is how this rotation is going to work out. The depth chart was released earlier this week. We all saw it's, you know, Burnett, Stephen Mitchell, and Jalen Green. I want to see how they really mesh with Darnold, but also how they work in the other guys. A guy, you know, at the top of my list, Tyler Vaughn, who I thought was really outstanding in fall camp. How is he going to work into that rotation, you know, and how is he going to mesh in there? But also guys like, you know, Joseph Lewis, Josh Amaterbebe, Randall Grimes, the younger guys. I want to see how this rotation really works out, because they've got some talented receivers, but we've never seen in a real game atmosphere how they really are going to perform. So that's what I'm going to be paying especially close attention to.
Daryl, I know you want to talk about the defense too, but you give a thought on what Johnny just talked about in terms of tenure versus talent and how you view that with this receiver group.
When you think about what Clay Helton is looking for, a coach oftentimes will always tend to default to tenure, guys that have been in the program that he has data on, that he knows how they're going to react and respond in adverse situations. And when you're integrating younger players that may be more talented, oftentimes talent doesn't necessarily trump tenure. You want to go into a situation where you can trust that if there's adjustments to be made, that a guy like Sam Darnold can turn, look on the outside, make that key adjustment that might have occurred in week three of the previous year, and kind of draw on that experience. Conversely, when you think about if this receiving core is going to have success, Gary, you talked about a little earlier, how quickly can this running game from USC take shape and form? You talked about rotation. The same can be said about the running back position. How quickly can a guy like Stephen Carr be integrated into this running game and assimilate his skill set, and how many plays can be designed and targeted for that skill set, using him out of the backfield or using him off tackle? But make no mistake about it, this offense is going to go as Ronald Jones takes it. He's going to have the majority of the first, second, third down carries. We'll see what happens thereafter.
Okay, and then go. Your point was about the defense that you wanted to talk about. We were coming here. We've talked so much about the second year under Clancy and how faster they're playing, not thinking so much. What are you seeing out there, and what do you expect to see on Saturday?
Well, if camp is any indication of what we can expect to see starting the season, expect this defense to hold its own and to really be one of the anchor points of this team. I think that they're so far ahead with the rotation in the amount of guys that a guy like Clancy Pendergast trusts. Trust, again, that's an emphasis that this coaching staff will always lean on. And what I'm seeing right now is production coming from various levels. I'm curious to see going into this game, how many takeaways, how many times can this defense produce three and outs to give this explosive offense of USC that second opportunity?
Kevin Bruce preparing for USC versus Western Michigan on Saturday. Kevin, let's focus your defensively speaking on the defensive side of the ball. First of all, this is the USC opening game. What are some of the key things that you're looking for this matchup?
Yeah, Gary, I really like to see, and I always take a look at three particular areas, and in particular for an opening game. And the first one is communication, which admittedly is a little difficult to track and get a feel for when if you're watching on TV and not able to hear what's going on in the field. That said, we got a pretty clear challenge, which I think the team will overcome, but it's a challenge with Cam Smith in the locker room for the first half of the ball game. I think Jordan Iosifo will do an excellent job. They prepared him well for it. You know, good athlete, and just all the makings is just what will be an outstanding linebacker. However, Clancy's defense is not the simplest in the world, and it does take some experience and time and position to really know what the calls are. I would expect Chris Hawkins will step up and really help make sure that the calls for the what I would call inside the box calls are in alignment to the secondary calls. That's really where the communication has to mesh completely. You have a safety making a call. They're communicating typically with the cornerbacks for sure. And then, you know, free and strong safety. And then if there's a nickelback. And then that has to mesh with what the guys in the box are doing, whether it's seven or, you know, six or in some cases even five. So that will be interesting to watch and see the outcomes. I expect that there'll be some, you know, from time to time there'll be some oopses and whatever. So that's where athleticism and just good, you know, field presence will take over. The other area I love to look at is just overall pursuit. If there's a lot of, you know, cardinal around a ball carrier, whether it's a receiver, running back, most likely running back. That's a very good sign. And part of that is an outcome of defeating the blocks, making sure that we're winning the one-on-one battles all along the line of scrimmage and in that box, and winning any blocks from the wide receivers on our cornerbacks or nickelback. And the third area, which is especially early in the season, is almost always an area where you note for needed improvement, and that's tackling. Are we tackling well? The pursuit will certainly helps with tackling, but are we tackling head up, eyes open, wrapping up the ball carrier, and then, you know, putting the ball carrier down, putting helmets where they belong, all right, and I'll say it that way. And sometimes it'd be nice to put a helmet right on the football and pop it up in the air and let somebody go run it back.
Always. Well, and speaking of, we talk about the communication with Cam Smith being in the locker room at halftime. I think one of the matchups that's going to be interesting is this Western Michigan run game, Kevin. As you've looked into it, they got two pretty good backs. They got a big thumper, and they got a quicker guy. And they even have a third guy coming back off an ACL injury. And one of their tackles is 6'6", 330, and is number four offensive tackle on Mel Kiper's projected draft list. How is that particularly important to not let them get off to a good start with Jordan Iosefa in there making sure everything's set? I know you said Chris Hawkins helping with the calls. How much do you see that playing a big role?
It's a role, and it's a challenge. But you know what? That's frankly why you put the pads on and go out and play and keep score. But it is a good challenge. It's a solid challenge. You've also got a quarterback who's not taking a snap as a starting D1 quarterback. So, you know, there'll be a certain amount of early on learning for the quarterback. So to the extent that we make the quarterback's reads very difficult, we're going to see just a lot of run situations for Western Michigan. And that's good. Now we can bring up 6.5 or 7 or even 7.5 into the box area. And Clancy's defense is tough for a quarterback to read. And I think that's an advantage. Whether you got a 330-pound tackle running around trying to block people, you have to know who to go hit properly, and we provide a lot of very different angles of attack along the line of scrimmage. I think that's very helpful. What's important for the defenses, and Jordan in particular, is to make sure the shoot angles are proper. Don't over pursue, right? Because there'll be a certain amount of misdirection involved in their run game. Western Michigan runs an RPO, a read pass option offense. It's a very much a high energy, high pace offense. That's their preference, but I believe we're going to force them into a run centric offense, which frankly they're very comfortable with. Last season they were 64-65% of their plays were run plays, so they're comfortable doing that. What they haven't seen, though, is a defense of this type with the depth of skill and talent, let alone perceived as a very complex defense. It gives a very different look to a quarterback. They won't see this type of look in any other defense that they see this year. That said, I think that creates an advantage for our defense. Our skill levels are very high. Some of this is going to boil down to physicality and defeating that one-on-one block.
I'll take the Trojans' chances on that one. Well, thanks for your time, Kevin. Appreciate it. Let's have a good one on Saturday.
Right on.
We're with Randy Taylor talking some recruiting topics. And Randy, it's the opening of the high school football season. Last week was actually week zero, was the first week of the season. And you spent your time out in the Inland Empire and had a chance to see a couple underclassmen that are pretty high on the USC recruiting wish list.
Yeah, I did. The two young kids, Jeremiah Cordell at Rancho Cucamonga, has been one of my favorite players for quite some time. He's almost playing specifically or dedicated to playing wide receiver, which is nice because he's a heck of a wide receiver. But to me, I think he's a guy that could play Sundays as a safety. He's kind of one of those guys. We were talking about Summit High School, about Carr just did things to help the team. Mm-hmm. And Jeremiah's like that. And then I saw the kid Flo from Upland,
right,
who I really like. And he's an athletic, instinctive kid. And you know what they both have is they both are really physical, competitive guys on the field. They're both really nice kids off the field, you know, and I don't know everything about them, but you know when you meet a kid and
sure
talk to them, and you know, Justin Flo is walking me around campus because I wasn't sure where the locker room or football office was or where they moved to, you know, all that stuff. And so that was kind of fun. Well, but those two guys are really special players.
I remember when you and I sat down in March. Yeah, you were singing Crudell's praises at that time. What is it in the water out there at Rancho Cucamonga with defensive back and good athletes?
Coach Baez and one of my old guys from the day, Mark Birdie, are out there, and they are athlete rich and lineman poor, not quite sure why. They do have one good, they got some nice offensive line, but it was nothing compared to Chaparral's offensive line, which Dedich and the other kid.
Jones.
Yeah, Jones, and they got another guy at right guard that's probably a kind of maybe a scholarship FCS type of a player. So they're, you know, they just got a bunch of those guys. But yeah, so you know, you never know why that is, and maybe kids want to go to Rancho Cucamonga and may move into the district. You know, these days with transfer rules, it's almost like the CIF gave up because of all the lawsuits,
right?
Possible lawsuits, so the transfer rules are not as difficult to get around.
And it sure has changed in recent years. You know, the talent pool in the Inland Empire, boy, you know, 20 years ago it wasn't like this, but now if you want to find the athletes, you better swing out on the, you better swing out there and take a look, because they're there.
You bet. Yeah, the fact that 210 used to end at Laverne, so I think maybe that's the answer. The 210 goes all the way through.
So some of those guys got to thank the 210. We were talking before this, and you said you had a chance to see Dedich and Chaparral, but you also said they got a young quarterback who really caught your eye.
They have this young kid, a 2021 kid, so he's just out of eighth grade. And he's a lefty starting for them, and he's poised, Trillian Harris. And he's a poised kid, you know, tall, lanky guy, but he makes decisions. He's controlling. You think about this. He's, as an eighth grader, is working with these guys in the summer. Well, he's running the huddle, and he's moving guys around. And it just was an impressive. Plus, he can spin it and do those things, and he's got a little bit some arm strength, and I think he'd be a Division I guy. So it was interesting to see him, and I've had a chance to meet him, and he's another one of those kids you just like to be around. He remembers your name and looks you in the eyes, shakes your hand, that kind of stuff.
That's good stuff. Well, tomorrow night, Randy, 1-2 in the nation, modern day Bishop Gorman. A lot of guys on the field. What catches your eye right away?
Well, my first thing is, that's an easy one to go to. You know, I'm thinking about going to some other game, you know, because...
You've already seen all these kids.
I tell you what it is both of those groups have a lot of talent at a lot of different positions. They're coached well, Sanchez at Bishop Gorman obviously, Bruce at Modern Day. So it's really a fun group. And the quarterback, I think, will make a difference. And I think they always do. So I would go with Modern Day a lot because of the quarterback situation.
Okay. That's interesting. That is going to be fun. The two linebackers are going to be fun to watch. There's a whole bunch of linebackers, but when you're talking Palladi and Solomon.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've got the big plant kid who's a defensive end.
I've always liked him, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I saw in him? There's two things. You know, Arizona runs that 3-4, so he's going to be that, because he's going to get big.
He's big, yeah.
He's about 260, 6'5", 260. He's going to be 280 and be that 3-4 defensive end or defensive tackle, however he develops. I don't think he'll stay as an outside rush guy necessarily, because I don't know if he's athletic enough, and he might even be a big time offensive tackle, but who knows, you know. But he's really good. The guy that I really was impressed with was that a lot of folks here in California don't see is that Jacob Messiah,
right, the offensive guard.
Yeah, the old lineman. The thing I liked about him, he's just a technique guy. you know. And but the linebackers on both teams can sink their hips and run through you. And, you know, it's hard to separate Solo from Calais and you know, IE as they call them.
Right.
Those two guys are so good and can play. And I would predict both will play as freshmen. You know, that's how good they are.
Sure, sure.
It'll be a great matchup.
I hope Amon-Ra is able to play. He's been battling a thumb injury. My guess is he will be healed enough in time to play. But
he is a difference maker, isn't he?
I don't know that I've seen a better wide receiver this year.
No, I don't think so either. And I don't care how small or big he is. He is such an explosive kid.
Boy, he's not a 6'2", 6'3", guy, whatever it is. But Randy, you've seen that is one strong kid.
Yeah. He can be a dominant guy on any field, and he's another guy that should play as a freshman.